The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
All right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
I see a little bit of surprise on your face, but there's a couple of teams that just keep on rolling, baby.
Yeah, once I see him rolling, and then what's he going with there? But there is a couple of teams that are keeping on rolling. Oh,
AFC, which is getting scary up the top.
It is. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast, Week 13 of the NFL. Scores Friday, we always do our Australian games.
Yours and my boys getting into it as we kicked off the round, both coming off I guess a Thanksgiving Day loss. Your Dallas Cowboys decided to march into New Orleans and get themselves a win. So that was 27-17, I think that was.
Yeah, you know, it was our defense. Oh, we'll go through the game, but god damn our defense. Yeah, I'm happy with the win, but there's something.
The Cowboys' defense was good, and the Saints' offense sucked.
Yeah, but I want to talk about. Yeah, but I'm not overly ecstatic with the win, but we'll talk about that.
Win's a win.
Well, good point. Yeah, and that's what counts leading towards these end of the last 3 or 4 weeks. Right. The Bucs beat the Falcons 32-17. The Cardinals beat the Bears 33-22. The Chargers beat the Bengals 41-22. Lions, first win of the season.
Jubilation in Detroit.
Oh, it was and literally right at the final play.
My God, that was just 29-27. I was kind of glad I was actually watching that game on Red Zone, and they just went like full exclusive to Detroit because the end of the game took so long.
The Dolphins beat the Giants 20-9. God, they're on a run. The Dolphins. It's amazing.
Another team in the AFC that just keeps on rolling.
Are they worth? Yeah. Now I get it. The Eagles. Oh, I can't wait to talk about this game. Beating the Jets 33-18 for only one reason.
The Colts. Your boy.
The Colts. God, he's got a good mustache still.
It's decent.
The Colts beat the Texans 31-0. They're rolling too. Well, sort of. Not compared to other teams, but they're an interesting team, the Colts.
I told you. You got to watch out for them.
You're right. You are right. The Washington football team beat the Raiders 17-15. The Rams demolished the Jags 37-7. They needed that kind of game, to be honest.
That was their biggest margin of victory in 3 years.
They needed that game.
Which seems a little odd because the Rams haven't been awful.
No, but... Yeah, you're right. It is pretty odd, actually. Steelers coming back. Yeah, another pretty tight game or close game, but coming back to win against the Ravens 20-19. The Seahawks beat the 49ers 30-23, keeping their very slim playoff chances still alive, technically. Technically. Won't be after this week.
The Chiefs. No, nobody's buying that.
No, the Chiefs beat the Broncos 22-9, and the Pats beat the Bills in atrocious weather. 14-10.
Holy moly.
we'll
and
go
after
back.
And after the game finished, it looked like the weather got worse.
Oh, well, let's start there. Let's go backwards this time. There's nothing wrong with that doing that. That was insane weather. The build-up for that game alone, where you could see some broadcasters and they were like standing in there. It was a massive blizzard.
It was hilarious. I was actually watching the Monday night kickoff on ESPN and watching them all do all their start of game analysis and everything like that. They were getting blown off their seats, like the gusts of wind were that high. Like they were coming across as like 55 mile an hour winds, which is like 90 kilometers an hour.
At the end of the day, the Pats, we know It was, you know, the New England weather is, you know, I guess always like that, but this is Buffalo weather to a T. So
no, yeah, that's right. You're getting a little bit too close to the Canadian border.
But what I found interesting is that the Bills to start throwing the ball, but the Pats played the game perfectly by literally going, well, there's no way, because of the way this wind and blizzard is, that there's no way we're going to be able to throw the ball with the rookie quarterback. So let's just run the hell out of it. That was literally their game plan.
Mac Jones at halftime, 1 for 1 for 12 yards. And that catch that actually was his only completion by Jonnu Smith was absolutely insane. He had to climb right up to actually catch it and bring it down one handed. It's like, oh man, like, and I think once they'd seen that, they're just like, I think we're going to abandon the pass game. They had 10 straight rush plays before that pass play. And then it was just nonstop on the ground, and it was basically just exclusive, you know, on the ground.
It was 46 carries. It wasn't exclusive. That's exactly. There was no other game plan. The good thing with them, I suppose, is, it's interesting. You know the way the plan's going to go like that, but the Buffalo defense couldn't really stop it. Really and technically, even though that was clearly their game plan. That's right.
And it was. I just don't understand how it was completely and utterly telegraphed that this is what we're going to be doing. Yet they continued to get first down after first down and move the ball, you know, and ran the ball. And you could see that they were trying to get on the edges as well to try and, you know, do you know what I mean? They're compressing their defensive line. So they're trying a few jet sweeps and a little bit of motion to try and get on the outside so they can actually get a bit of an advantage in that run game. Just to try and spread the Bills defensive line out. So it was a bit of a masterstroke by Bill Belichick, but you've got to still be able to execute it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that, like, it's right. That's just a Bill Belichick, like, masterclass. You know, it really is. Like, there's nothing, you know, the offensive line did their thing. The defense sort of did their thing because then, obviously, Josh Allen, when they started falling behind, had to start throwing the ball. Got a few throws out there, but, you know.
Look, in those kinds of conditions, you shouldn't be throwing 30 times.
Realistically, for these two teams, it was kind of an ugly game, but I mean, it was the weather that pretty much predicted this game, which made kind of more captivating in a way, kind of thing, because you don't know, they were going to always run the ball, but you don't know what was going to happen, because you could sometimes half the time you couldn't see what was going on, too. That was
exactly. And look, Buffalo were their own worst enemy as well, is just squandering red zone opportunity after red zone opportunity, and they had two prime red zone opportunities in the fourth quarter and came away with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like couldn't even squeeze 3 points out of it. Yeah, they came away with absolutely nothing. And you know, it's a credit to how the defensive scheme was put together there for the Patriots to be able to continually repel them, especially inside the town, to come away with nothing.
What? I don't get the running back engine room at. I thought Zach Moss and Devin Singletary were good. I don't get, like, clearly they haven't been this year.
Singletary's more of a pass catcher rather than a, you know, your traditional sort of running back. True. And I think Zach Moss is more of your hard nosed sort of runner. But I was a little surprised that there wasn't more, designed runs for Josh Allen, you know, a la the way that Baltimore play with Lamar Jackson or Arizona play with Kyler Murray. I think they really missed a trick there. That Josh Allen wasn't more of a run threat in design plays, not just being flushed out of the pocket, because he did have six rushes for 39 yards. But to not have more design plays, especially in the conditions that they were, I was extremely surprised at that, because that would have been that's your biggest threat.
Yeah, yeah, and he's pretty decent on the ground too. Like he can run the ball a little bit. He's proved it before. So
that's right.
Before
going out there and throwing 30 times in that in those conditions, he only completed 50%. He was 15 of 30. That's just you can't do that. Like it's clear on the other side of the ball that New England have gone in there with a clear game plan, and I just don't think Sean McDermott put together, you know, the right game plan, or not so much the right game plan, but to be able to change it on the run.
Well, that was my question, I guess, is that what, like, they're going to make the playoffs, but I know you've already said that you were already concerned by the Buffalo Bills. Now, after this game, I mean, I guess it's pretty evident, but like, where do they go? What do they do?
Well, unfortunately, you know, like we said, the Dolphins are continuing on their rich vein of form at the moment. They're only beating, you know, not the greatest teams out there either, except for that, I guess, sort of uncharacteristic and that win over Baltimore a few weeks ago on a Thursday night or on a Friday morning. They haven't beaten the greatest of teams out there. So Buffalo's sort of in the same boat, but they've got to come out. They've got divisional games left.
Yeah.
They've got to play New England again.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks. So they really have to sort of smarten up.
They have to win that. They have to win that.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They need to return serve.
Exactly. They're completely back in form. We said this week. But again, the Kansas City Chiefs beating their divisional rivals, Denver Broncos. It was an okay game. It had what it needed to. Like it wasn't overly exciting or anything like that.
This wasn't a very excitable sort of game. Like not a traditional, Kansas City, you know, offensive masterclass. Sort of watching the broadcast of it, 12 straight wins now for Kansas City over Denver. That is insane. And I think Mahomes is 8-0 against Denver in his career. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why it looks
absolutely
like...
got the Broncos number.
Oh, of course they do. I the things that pointed out to me in this game, even though we're in a loss, is that it's clear they need a new quarterback, but it's also very, very clear that their youth flex players, let's call them that, in running backs and wide receivers, they have a great future. Like Javonte Williams, your Jerry Judy's, your Noah Fant, like. You know, Sutton wasn't really in this sort of game, but you know, Javonte and Jerry Jeudy, they were good in this game, and should be good with a better quarterback. Realistically,
I mean, it's nothing against Teddy Bridgewater. Like, you know, if he can look, they're still in the division at 6-6. Yeah, they're well within the playoff
good
hunt.
Point.
So
yeah, that's
Yeah, can they get better? I would still take Bridgewater over Drew Lock, but look, their play calling, especially in the first quarter, yeah, they decided to go for it on a 4th-and-2 with like a minute to go in the first half, and it stalled. They end up kicking a field goal right towards the end of the first half there as well. Mm-hmm. Like that first drive was really nice in the second quarter. They had a really nice drive just as the first half is about to expire.
Yeah.
And it stalls again, and all they can salvage out of it is 3 points. So it was a little not so much disappointing. They're one of those teams that's just super inconsistent this year, and like you said, that Kansas City's got the wood on them at the moment.
Well, being a divisional rival, that's
right.
You generally try to have the wood on your divisional rivals, but yeah, it's you're right. It's 6-6. It's a funny old standings. Looking at it technically. no one's technically out of it.
No, that's right. You know, everyone in the AFC West is still in contention. Look, I guess, you know, Mahomes wasn't overly terrific, only 184 yards. Didn't throw for a touchdown. The more concerning part, I think, for Kansas City is the continuation of Tyreek Hill's hands letting him down. Another pass sort of had gone astray, straight, you know, just burst straight through his hands. And, you know, that was Mahomes' interception in that third quarter. You don't want to continue to do that, especially this late in the season. And you sure as hell don't want to be doing that come playoff time.
No, that's exactly right. What's even more concerning for them is have a guess who, you know, so turnovers this season. I had this sort of stat, and I was going to say it last week, and it even sort of wasn't so bad this week, but it is strangely weird. But the Kansas City Chiefs have the second most turnovers this year out of the entire NFL. The entire NFL. They are just behind by two, just behind the New York Jets. But they're on the other side. They're the team with the third most, you know, that points negative, that differential thing. Like, it's a lot of the NBA one. Yeah, there's the, yeah, but the plus minus, I should say, the plus minus one. They're third in that, but they're 31st in turnovers this year. It's just alarming. But,
well, and that's the thing. You cut that out, and especially over the last sort of, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, they're defensively, they've gotten a lot better, and that's sort of keeping them in games, because offensively, whilst, you know, they do have the potential to explode, and they have, you know, just recently they have been a little more explosive, not really so much in this game, but again, you're getting the win. You're 8-4. You're well within striking distance of getting the number one seed in the AFC with 5 weeks to go. So they've got it. They've still got it all to do. And like I said, you know, the AFC West is still very wide open.
Who do you reckon's got the least turnovers in the entire NFL?
Least.
You're not going to get it. That'll give you a guess. If you don't think you'll get it. It's a team you wouldn't expect.
Team you wouldn't expect. Minnesota.
No, the Giants.
Oh, wow.
And then just behind them is your Saints and the Bucks and my Cowboys. So
no, well, that's right. You know, that's the thing. It's the zero explosiveness of New Orleans, but they don't turn the ball over, but there's no fear. There's no fear there.
Probably why the Giants.
What do you fear offensively in that Saints team? Nobody.
No, that's probably why the Giants are bloody first, because you don't have to turn the ball over if you never had the ball.
Well, that's true.
The Seahawks beating the Niners. Divisional win.
Divisional win.
It was a sniff it was going to be there, but I mean,
San Francisco were the much better side in that first half. The scoreboard didn't reflect it, because I'm pretty sure that Seattle was only down 2 at the half.
Correct.
They got that strange safety right at the start of the third quarter, where Garoppolo was backed up in the end zone and got sacked. But I thought San Francisco were the much better side. Offensively in that first quarter, in that first half, besides the little fake punt, direct snap to Travis Homer.
Oh, it was awesome.
I'm just trying to think how long it was. Was it 70 odd yards or whatever it was?
It was my start of the week. It was 73 yards. The whole thing was just awesome.
It was crazy. It was just a direct snap to the left. And around he went, and nobody was catching him.
Because he technically finished the highest on the rushing because of that, just because of that.
Because of that one run.
Three carries for 80, so 73 of them with that fight. It was awesome. It was
crazy.
Awesome. Great move. Like, it clearly was unexpected. So
Yeah, absolutely.
And, looks like they finally, and you know, injuries aside and everything, but they finally got Kittle into action. God damn, he was in action.
Oh, man, he was a monster.
He was, yeah, 181 yards, only dropped the ball three times, but consistently, you know, his longest was 48. So he got some big chunks of yardages out of those nine receptions.
Well, that was that touchdown that he crept along the sideline, yeah. And it looked for all money he was going to put one of his big boots out and touch some of the grass, but he was on his tippy toes as he was going down the left hand sideline. You're just like, holy hell, how did he not stand out? But that's your traditional George Kittle type game, and it's always going to be a good safety valve for Jimmy G, especially that Debo wasn't in this game, so they sort of had to really rely on him a lot.
The other thing I thought was concerning is they had a lot of third and short options for the 49ers. I don't know if this is concerning or it's just maybe they're just not doing anything with him. But you have a lot of third and down options close enough. Wouldn't that be prime or at least giving Trey Lance a chance at that?
Yeah, see, they've really taken him out of their offensive options at the moment.
Yeah, it's just an interesting, like, it really have. They probably just said to him, you aren't going to, you know, I guess until they're officially knocked out, they're not going to make it. But if they're officially, you aren't going to play this year, you might play the last two games possibly. But he's been taken out.
Unless Jimmy G gets hurt. Then they'll sort. I guess they'll trot him out there. But I really think they could probably use him.
Oh, those third down options. He could have ran those few yards. His explosive the speed could have at least got there on those couple of yards.
That's right. It's interesting. He can use him in that gadget type. Yeah, exactly. Gadget type offense.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They've clearly just cut it completely. But good win by Seattle. I kind of did, and I kind of didn't expect the Steelers to win this game. It was kind of, but not kind of, if you know what I mean. I don't know. Like, the Steelers are they continue to amaze me, but not always in the greatest of ways.
The rivalry between these two is as hotly contested as any rivalry in the NFL, and apparently at training, you know, like this week at Pittsburgh training this week, music to Mike Tomlin's ears was the popping of pads. So, you know, a lot of heavy collisions going on at Steelers training this week to prep themselves up for this, this sort of slugfest. And Lamar Jackson again,
mm-hmm.
had a really poor first quarter. And in saying that, the opening drive of the game marched them all the way down the field and then throws a brutal interception while they're in the red zone to just straight. It was to Minkah Fitzpatrick. All he had to do was just jump straight up like he was getting a rebound. It was unbelievable. It's just like, where is the receiver there? Like, what was he looking at?
Yeah, there was no. You're right. There was nothing.
It was
there.
Crazy.
What? Oh, I don't know. What's concerning with him is he. He's the most complex guy in a quarterback that I've ever seen. For the fact of, I don't know what he's going to do when he's in the pocket. I actually love, even though. And then I'll tell you why I don't love it, but I do actually love that he runs out of the pocket because he looks like he's so big. He looks like he could run for 100 yards. He looks like a buddy Derrick Henry type, not as big, but close to a Derrick Henry type that could just smash through everybody. But is he running too much?
He's extremely elusive, though.
That's right. But is he running too much out of the pocket? He got sacked 7 times in this game. Is he running too quickly
White
out of that
Chris
pocket?
Wormley. We're chasing him around everywhere.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Is the offensive line just collapsing completely, or is he running too quickly out of the pocket, and they're just not being, you know, the offensive line aren't keeping with him. You know what I mean?
No, I think this was just this was just one of those games where Pittsburgh defensively they were up for the contest.
Oh, of course they were, and their defense is awesome. We've always said every week.
Now that they've got Fitzpatrick back, TJ Watt's back.
Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, you know they're the two. You know they're brutal linchpins. Joe Schubert's pretty good too.
And we haven't heard a whole lot from Devin Bush this year.
No, not really, actually. No. But
so, you know, if he can sort of, you know, get into any sort of you know, playoff form as that, they're not dead ducks either.
No, they're not. I don't that's why I think I don't know if I like or don't like, because I don't know where they are. They're not dead ducks. You know, they're 6-5. We'll talk about Cincinnati later. They're 7-5. You know, Baltimore's 8-4. They have a couple of skids that, you know, this could go each way.
No, that's right. And look, it was this game just, you know, it obviously lit up in the fourth quarter. You know, we had the touchdown and the 2-point conversion by Pittsburgh to put them up 8 points, you know, inside the 2-minute warning. Yet defensively, they let Baltimore get all the way down the other end of the field inside of 2 minutes, 12 seconds to go. They get the touchdown, and John Harbaugh, the coach, decides to go for two. He goes the hero move. It's pure insanity.
Well, it obviously was. It didn't end up losing him the game. So,
well, that's right. It was brutal. The pass, like, Jackson got pressured again, which he was under pressure most of the night.
That's why, you're right. That's why it was a brutal call, for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. And the pass was just out in front of Mark Andrews, and it was just on his fingertips. It was just that little bit too far away, and essentially into the game. It was such a perplexing, yeah, decision to just kick the PAT and let's go to overtime. Like, take your chances in overtime.
They realistically, looking at their run, they could fall from first to fourth. Like, realistically, they've got divisional Browns next week. Then they've got the Packers, Bengals, Rams, and then Steelers again. So then none of them, maybe probably.
It's a rough
Browns
run home.
But that's a rough run home. That's a rough run home. They I mean, all these are lighting up. They're so close. But this one, to me, out of all of them, just I honestly don't know who's going to win it. I purely on money, on a bet sense, I want Cleveland to win, but that's probably not going to happen. But that's only because I've got them in a multi. That's the only reason. But in honesty, I'd love the Bengals to win, just because, you know, they're a fun team to watch. That's the only reason I'd love them to win. I kind of don't want Baltimore to win because, well, they can't win in the playoffs anyway. But, you know,
no, that's right. Yeah, they haven't had the greatest success there with Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. So look, it's got to come sooner or later. They've got to be able to figure it out to win these big games. And like I said, you know, this is as a heated rivalry as what there is in the NFL. And this game well and truly proved it, that form lines go totally out the window.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Next game, well, this was just the Rams coming off a 3-game skid, smashing the Jags 37-7.
Nothing cures the ails of a 3-game winning skid than coming up against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly. I just think it's just purely exactly what they needed. They needed this to win. And I guess Odell got a. Odell got a touchdown, but realistically,
that was a nice little bit of stat padding towards the end of the fourth quarter. Like, please.
So what I'm actually getting at is they're a little bit concerning, because without Robert Woods there, they really, you know, he had a good game, but they didn't have much else.
They heavily relied on two people in this game, and you know, Cooper Kupp is the favorite target. It doesn't matter who is the quarterback there at the Rams. But Darrell Henderson was a healthy scratch. I think he was actually right to go, but he had a quad injury. They decided to give him a healthy scratch, and it was a very healthy dose of Sony Michel.
Oh yeah, definitely Sony. I mean, yeah, Sony Michel coming from the Pats, we thought may. I thought he was realistically going to get some more touches during the season, but Darrell Henderson's been pretty good, obviously, this year. But yeah, he was good in this game and shows what kind of potential he has. So interesting next year. I don't think he'll be up there, but what happens when Cam Akers come back, who's a little bit injury prone in that sense?
Well, and that's the thing. I think he's going to have to prove that, and he's going to have to beat out Darrell Henderson, because you can see that. Yeah. He's the proven commodity at the moment, and whether or not they want to discard him or Sony Michel, you know, in the off season going into next year, but that those two will definitely get a job somewhere else if they do go in that route. But you know, when Cam Akers comes back, like he's as dynamic as a young running back as there is, but. It's your best ability is availability, and if he can't be trusted to stay on the field, it's you know, like a Saquon Barkley, it's like a Christian McCaffrey. If you can't rely on them not to be hurt, then they're pretty much useless.
Yeah, no, totally.
No good
agree.
For you if they're on the sidelines of street clothes.
Washington beating the Raiders, you know, 17-15. I don't get it, but there's a little bit of, you know, not so much hype, but people are getting a little bit behind Washington for some reason.
Not for some reason. It's for one reason, and that's the quarterback.
Well, Henneke. Yeah, okay, good point.
Yeah, I think he's really turning into a league favorite, a plucky underdog. And man, does it look like he is not having a good time on the field the whole time? He has always got a grimace on his face. He's just, he is all about business when he's in between those lines.
That's right. Maybe he just doesn't want to smile because he's all about the business. Possibly.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's simple math, for the Las Vegas Raiders, 6-0 this year. So all six losses when Derek Carr doesn't throw for 300 yards.
Oh, interesting.
Simple mathematics. He throws for 300 yards, they're 6-0. He doesn't throw for 300 yards, they're 0-6.
Well, you know, again, not having Darren Waller there probably doesn't help as well. So
look, that doesn't help. And Josh Jacobs was extremely underwhelming in this game. Kenyon Drake broke his ankle on the one and only rush that he had in this game was very scathing in his in his post game Twitter rant about the way that he's been hurt, you know, almost like a scorpion tackle in the NRL. The tackler uses their weight that they grab onto their legs and use their body weight to pull them down, and that's how he's cracked his ankle. So he was very upset in regard with that, calling for basically an outlaw.
Well, it didn't look pretty.
That's right, that type of tackle.
Yeah, no, it didn't look pretty at all. I was So you could see why the frustration was there, to be honest.
Look, Logan Thomas got hurt in this game as well, and there was fears out there that he had blown out everything in his knee, blown out at his ACL and his MCL, but that's not the case. Looks like he's only done a little bit of ligament damage to the ACL. So, I think he's going to be a week-to-week prospect over the coming weeks. But, he seems to be a bit of a favorite of Henneke as well.
Well, yeah, he got that one sort of decent sort of touchdown, and I think when he's been there back, yeah, right, he has been Taylor Henneke's favorite because he had a pretty decent record before he got injured. This is Logan Thomas, so I don't know, he's just hit 30 as well, so it's going to be interesting, I guess.
He's a former quarterback too, Logan Thomas.
God, he's a massive quarterback, man.
Yeah, Jesus isn't it? Christ. What is he, 6'7"?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Well, I suppose quarterbacks are, yeah, they're not short, so.
No, but that's, that's getting into the Brock Osweiler, you know, type tallness. I think he was about 6'8", I think.
No, that's right. Look, Washington doing okay. They're 6-6. They still have a wild card chance. I don't think they're going to catch Dallas. I'll be very, unless Dallas have a massive scare, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah, no, they're keeping their head above water. And like you said, you know, they're keeping their playoff hopes alive. And any time that you can be, you know, at that 500 mark, especially this late in the season, you're going to give yourself a chance.
The Colts beating the Texans, I mean, again, it was just sort of kind of a simple game plan. Carson was, when he was allowed, I guess, to throw the ball, was effective,
yeah, right.
16-22 at 158, but it wasn't even just Jonathan Taylor, it was just the run game everywhere. And it works for him.
A very, very healthy dose of Jonathan Taylor in this game for the Colts offense.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was. You know, 143, two touchdowns. The dude, yeah, I mean, he's number one running back for a reason. Could technically, he's not going to, but realistically, with all the schmozzle of the quarterbacks, could he technically even be a MVP candidate?
Absolutely, he could. They won't give it to him, especially while Rodgers and Tom Brady are playing the way that they are.
It'd be good to see him to be a candidate at least. That'd be interesting.
No, that's right. I think he would be in the conversation and a very outside chance. But while Tampa Tom and Aaron Rodgers are playing the way that they are, I think they're looks like they're firming as the two clear favorites in the MVP race.
So, okay, because they didn't play this week, did they, the Packers? Am I correct?
The Packers had the bye. No, Rodgers resting his COVID toe.
His COVID toe. Okay, so Rodgers, like realistically, then, you know, Tom's a clear favorite, but Rodgers to me is the better value and probably is the one, if he's gone, like their team is literally done at 650. That's not the question of would you bet on it. The question to me is, with the stuff that's going on that happened all year with Aaron Rodgers and preseason, would the NFL give it to him? Really? Like they you know, the NFL with all the stuff they go on now, they've let him play, but all the stuff that he's been going on with COVID toe and then effectively lying, and then the preseason schmozzle.
Look, if the numbers don't lie, the play doesn't lie.
That's like, the thing. If they could end up having the best record in the entire NFL, and it's clearly because of him. But with all this stuff, do they give it to him? This is all I'm getting at. It's a weird one. Like, technically, if they finish above the Bucks. This is what this is how I would see it. If they finish above the Bucks, then how could you realistically give Tom Brady the MVP? How?
I guess you've got to look at comparative numbers too. I guess, but if it's only a one game difference, I think the numbers are negligible.
One game is fair.
If it's a one game difference, if they put, you know, a couple of games between them. Then their numbers are fairly comparable. Then you would absolutely go to the team's record and probably make your decision based on that. But I'm not sure. Well, in saying that, I'm not sure if the NFL is that fickle. But they absolutely could be.
Well, they're both 9-3 technically. You know, the Cards might finish number one when we talk about them later. But it's he was completely out of it because he missed games, but technically Kyler Murray has to be in that mix somewhere, doesn't he?
Nah, see, he's
no,
I think he's missed too much, so,
yeah, I
don't, I don't think that they could give it to him, even though, you know, even if they do have end up having the best record, you know, in the league or at least in the NFC. I don't think that they can get, unless he just absolutely just explodes over the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. I think he's missed too many games. You know, Rodgers only missed the one. Brady hasn't missed any. So it's got to be between those two.
God, that $2.50, but it's way too low for Brady. I kind of want to put on Rodgers just to, for a sneaky $5 or $10, just to. You got to
invest. You've got to put a couple extra zeros on the end of that.
Okay, sure. I'll do that. We'll talk about that later. The next game, the Eagles, Minshew Mania.
Oh, your boy.
Oh my God. The whole show of it. The, you know, accurate guy, 242 yards, 20 for 25. Didn't throw any interceptions. He got sacked twice, but. He is just
a hype machine.
Oh, and did you see post game with his father?
Oh, with his dad. Holy hell!
That's hype machine as well. I guarantee he would. Well, he'd probably be the best person to have a drink and hang out with I think he would be nonstop party. But
he is just an absolute ball of energy. He's a ball of energy with a mustache.
I don't think he'd ever be sad. That's what he looks like. He'll never be sad.
No, that's right. Yeah. If you ever catch him in some sort of weird depression, then you know he must be he must be upset.
He just looks happy with life. He's a backup quarterback and he's just completely happy with that. But see this, you know, again, okay. He was pretty consistently good coming in for this game to beat the Jets. Yes, I know it was against the Jets, but you still have to be able to be accurate and everything like that.
You still got to go out and execute.
The thing I just don't get is I mean, he's a backup for the Eagles, which is right, but I know, and I'm not saying, I don't get why Jags got rid of him, and I know he could start at certain places that need quarterbacks. I know that's he right. can. This is why
was a perfect audition for him for next year.
Oh, it has to be. He's too accurate enough. He has to be.
And put him in the right situation. Yeah, he could absolutely thrive. Look, Jalen Hurts, the Eagles aren't giving up on him.
No.
You know, they're going to bring him straight back in. You know, once he's okay and fit and ready to go again. So
he's good, but he's good. Like, I'm not going to lie, Jalen Hurts.
No, he is. He's slightly less accurate, but that can be worked out. And there's no more better example than Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah. Good point. That's exactly right. Yeah, I like, you know, he, even if when he scrambles, he doesn't get, like, I'm thinking of Lamar Jackson, he doesn't get sacked as much. He's pretty intuitive because he knows when to get rid of the ball too without getting sacked.
He is. I'd compare Jalen Hurts to more of a Russell Wilson. He hasn't got the blistering speed as what, you know, somebody like Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray does, but is still elusive, and he's very smart. Once he makes good quick decisions. Once he actually gets out of the pocket and makes those runs, and that's what makes Russell Wilson special.
Yeah, no, he looks tailor made to like a Russell Wilson type player. Yeah, exactly.
As well. The more sort of concerning thing, and like there's many concerning things to do with the New York Jets, but. What had sort of come out in the post game is the coaching staff were totally unprepared for Gardner Minshew. Like, how?
I thought the same thing as well, especially that Roberts, especially again, this is why I don't get with Robert Saleh. He came from the San Francisco 49ers as a defensive coach. He's a defensive coach.
Right.
Or defensive coordinator, technically, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
He was
so, coordinator. How I
How can that happen? Like even I knew that Jalen Hurts wasn't playing in this game.
Yeah,
and all they do is live, breathe, eat shit football.
Yeah,
How did they not know and not have a game plan for Jalen Hurts not being there? Everybody knows that the backup for Jalen Hurts and for the Philadelphia Eagles is Gardner Minshew. How can you not be prepared for that? That is mind-boggling.
This is just the Jets.
Mind-boggling. I was listening to ESPN radio last night, and Rex Ryan, the former Jets coach, was on one of the morning shows, and he just crucified them for that. That absolutely cannot happen.
Well, see, I listened to a podcast with Robert Salah, and he's actually a very intelligent person, and he's very he just listening to him, he knows the game, but I don't know if it's just because he's a first year coach and he's, you know, doesn't want to rock the boat and all that. I don't know, but you're right. That how do you not unprepare? How do you go in unprepared as a legitimate National Football League team? Like, come on.
That doesn't make sense.
Now that I didn't realize that, but I might have to change that to my dud, but I think I'll keep the other one. But still, that's very dud-like. My God.
That was very close for me. It's inexcusable.
Of course it is.
Look, I get it. They're a three-win team, but that's absolutely inexcusable.
Your boy, because you do like, and I do like this guy as well, but Jalen Waddle is just seemingly elevating his game week to week. And the big reason why they're on that five-game win streak, you know, it was against the Giants and Mike Glennon of all people, but still, Tua and Jalen have worked that like they should have worked that partnership out perfectly, or the other way, or the schemes just worked out perfectly.
I think it's a little bit of scheme. I think the offensive line there at Miami's playing a little bit better, giving Tua a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, with wins comes confidence, and I think Tua's getting a lot more confident, a lot more comfortable. You know where he's at. I guess, you know, sort of scheme wise and look, don't undersell the fact that Devontae Parker was activated straight away off the IR and come straight in and look pretty damn good.
Yeah. I have him. I stashed him away in a lot of IRs in leagues because he is good. You know, he is a decent player.
He's a low end number one, an extremely high end number two receiver. Exactly. And if he's going to be behind Jalen Waddle, which is no mean feat, you know, if they can work out how to spread targets around, also with Mike Gesicki there as well, look, that's a really nice, you know, three pronged attack there for Tua.
Yeah, and you know, while he chimes in when he needs to, Myles Gaskin's not too bad too.
I mean, he's not
the greatest, but you know he can complement very well. So
yeah, I think so. I think they could get a little bit more out of Gaskin. I don't think they really help him a whole lot with how they draw up a lot of their run plays. Like he's an extremely small dude. So he cops a lot of punishment when he tries to take those really hard nosed hits.
Jonathan Taylor, when you look at him when he runs back to his offensive line, is pretty small as well. But
no, that's right.
At
least he's a little bit thick.
Good point. Tight, like you said, they're third, but tight. You know, AFC East is just, you know, it would be amazing. I'd love to see it, but it'd be amazing if Miami finished above Buffalo, which is extremely in play. Extremely important.
Well, it is, but yeah, it's look, and Miami created a little bit of history. First team to start a season in the first 8 weeks to go 1-7 to win five on the trot and to become 6-7 that's crazy to think about.
It's perplexing for the fact that after seeing them lose that in that London game against the Jags, I thought there was no way they could have a good season, but they flipped it around. And they kind of needed to.
That was an all-time low, I think.
They kind of needed to because their draft stock next year obviously isn't that good, and so
No.
The worse they get, the, you know, it's the worse for other teams that have it. I think it's possibly the Eagles, but I can't remember.
I think the Eagles have got one of their top picks.
So, the Lions, they're getting that win.
Like I said off the top, absolute rapture and jubilation in Detroit. I'm really glad that it did actually happen at Ford Field rather than happening on the road because
happens like that timing. It happened.
The Detroit fan base is as loyal as you can get.
Of course they are. Look at the NBA. They're loyal. Like, you know, with the disasters they've gone through. It also happened, and as bad as all that was, and the timing of it, it also happened tragically the same week as that, you know, Detroit school shooting, and that was the first.
No,
thing
that's right.
They all said post game is that it was all dedicated to those Oxford kids. So
that's right,
Oxford
and high school
kids. So
that's as motivational as anything that can you know, sort of buoyed a team, you know, rally a team together into getting their first W of the season against my WTF team in Minnesota. I said that last week. I told you this was a danger game. Absolutely told you this was a danger game.
What I find interesting is that is they're not interesting. I just put the timing of you saying that and then this happening is insane. I mean, look at the stats. I mean, I'm talking the Vikings. Clearly, they're one dimensional in the run game. Madison got 90 yards. Justin Jefferson got 182 yards.
Justin Jefferson was a monster.
But no one else got, you know, it was sporadic, but no one, I mean, I know Adam Thielen, but no one else.
No,
got
well, Adam Thielen went down fairly early in this game.
That's right.
With a high ankle sprain. So they had no real choice but to just go to their cash cows in Madison and Justin Jefferson. Look, you know, Conklin got some nice receptions there as well. I thought Detroit really controlled this game for three plus quarters. It looked like they were going to lose in typical Lions fashion. You know, Jared Goff had a brutal fourth quarter. You know, he had an interception, he had a fumble lost on a fourth and one on their own 20, which gifted Minnesota field position. Minnesota went for 3 2-point conversions on their touchdowns, failed all three of them.
And then obviously obviously that last second ditch play where Amon Ross.
How did they allow Detroit to go 75 yards to even get the opportunity to put the game away and get in the end zone?
Because Detroit weren't really doing that during the game. So all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, in that fourth quarter in the last 2 minutes, they were able to try it down the field so easily. That's what I couldn't work out. But the touchdown was good. Don't get me wrong. You know, it was great, exciting, great for Amon Ra St. Brown, who is a good player, and they should use him more, like the rookie wide receiver. But technically, the letter of the law, which is interesting they didn't do this, that was a walk-in catching touchdown. Technically, technically they should have lined up for a conversion, even if Jared Goff or someone kneels. You still technically have to line up. I'm surprised the Vikings didn't say anything because technically, you know, we'll put it this way.
I think they were in such disgust.
What's happened to them. They probably would have kneeled if they didn't kneel and then Vikings get the ball back and then run the safety to get the 2 points. So what I'm saying is,
does there need to be time still left on the clock?
There was
all zeros on the clock.
I don't know. That's what I mean, but I wasn't listening to I haven't delved more into it, but this is what the commentary was saying, and their statisticians were saying the letter of the law, technically, I don't know. I didn't really think about the clock, but they said the letter of the law technically means they should be lining up to take the field goal. Realistically, they would have just kneeled and then game's over. So
no, that's right.
But who cares? Detroit, you know, first win against a divisional rival, the Vikings. Now I can see exactly why they were that, like. Does Kirk Cousins stay there next year? Probably not.
I mean, he will find employment somewhere. But look, and you know, said it last week. Yeah, statistically, he's having one of the best years of his career.
Well, he got 340 in this, but okay, it's probably in realistic terms, this is probably not his fault overly this game. It's probably their terrible defense. Really, at the end of the day, it's probably their defense.
And look, in saying that too, like lead the league in sacks.
I know they've got good players in terms of defense, but maybe it's their secondary. Maybe it's just their secondary.
It was a blown secondary cover for that got this touchdown for the Lions. Look, they're like going into this week, I think five of their losses were by a combined 18 points. So they're not being blown out. They're losing games in heartbreaking fashion. They've lost games on missed field goals. Yeah. They've lost games on, you know, touchdowns like this one, you know, in the dying seconds. So they're just – it's – I'll continue. It's not the offense. I guess it's just one of those seasons where you're having just the most rotten offense. Luck.
And that Eric Kendricks has been out a fair bit as well. But Nick Vigil, who was basically the defensive line, or even probably more of a DB. Like he was running, his stats are running on DB ones and twos for the entire NFL the start of the year. And then Kendrick's come back, so he took a backward step, and then he was massive in this game again. So I don't know. You're right. It's probably just those heartbreaking. Like they're just, you'd hate to bet against or for them. So now I'm completely on your bandwagon of the WTF team, purely on this game alone. And like you said, it had to be this game for danger.
Oh, of course it was.
I was a little shocked that the Chargers won against the Bengals, but won pretty convincingly. Were you?
Yeah, very much so. I was extremely surprised that that they come out so dominant in the first, you know, 20 minutes of this game. They're 24-0 up, and it's just like, well, wow, they're putting points on the Bengals at will.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were definitely were. It wasn't you know your typical or you know Keenan Allen. It was more of a couple of chip ones in the red zone. Got two touchdowns, but it wasn't their bell cows sort of getting there like your Austin Ekelers of the world. You know that yes, they did get a touchdown, but they weren't lighting the world on fire. Jalen Gunton was pretty good in this game, getting. You know, 4 out of 4 and 90 yards and a TD.
He was impressive.
I think because Keenan went down, didn't he? Because I think he's injured for next week, if I remember.
I think he's in COVID protocol.
COVID protocol, okay. Because he only played a little bit in it. Well, he was used sporadically in this game. The Bengals are probably one of those. See, they could be one of those WTF teams because they're exciting and they're good, you know, and their record's still good. It's 7-5. Don't get me wrong, but it's more of a like what team turns up is probably the best way to put them.
No, because and it's, they I have guess the it's in both it's ends. In true Bengals fashion though, isn't it? Like you know, everybody starts yeah. to yeah, everybody good starts point. to maybe get on the bandwagon a little bit and go, hey, you know, they're our sentimental second team, and then you know they come out in their home, you know, in their home patch, and they put up this sort of garbage. Like it just they were lucky to be 24-13 down, you know, at the half, and they looked like that they were actually putting together a really nice drive right at the end of the first half. I think they were on about the 45-yard line, and there was still time left on the clock. And they I'm pretty sure that the call come from the sideline to just let the clock run out. And Joe Burrow was pissed. Holy moly, he was angry as he came off the field at halftime. He was extremely unimpressed. I think he thought that they could maybe try and salvage 3 points or maybe take a couple of shots at the end zone. You know, they've got the speed man there in Jamar Chase. You know, if you can buy a little bit of time. Yeah, that's right. T. Higgins was massive in this game.
Yeah. Good player too. Good player.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, Joe Burrow was less than impressed as he was coming off the field at halftime.
Yeah, he was. Which is kind of good. To be honest, you want that in a young quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of pissed off.
Yeah, but that's right.
Again, the tried and true thing of the Bengals is that his offensive line let him down, and he got sacked 6 times in this game. So that's what you get when you take it. I'm not going against Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is brilliant, but you had 2 great offensive left tackles to protect you. That were glaringly there, but you went the wide receiver. So that's just going to happen.
No, and look, it's this upcoming draft, you know, they'll have a pick of the litter, really, because there's a lot of talent, on the offensive and defensive line, in the draft next year. So, that would probably be a way that they would go, and there's just no chance that they were going to pass up Jamar Chase. So,
I guess I get it. I don't know.
You've got to hope that the guys that you've got there make progressions as they get on in their career, that they can improve, rather than just having to just retool every year, you know, going with draft picks, Joe Burrow he's got to be a little bit better as well. Like, you know, this is all a learning curve for him as well.
No, that's true.
Because he missed a lot of last year as well, so he doesn't have as many starts as what Justin Herbert does, and it's looking like a little bit of a sophomore slump, really, for Justin Herbert. He's just not really like he was playing really well at the start of the season, but he's sort of gone into a little bit of a slump over the last month to 5 weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. Except obviously, you got a decent win in this game. So
no, that's right. And this is just one of those, I guess, sort of surprising games that everything was put together really well by the Chargers. And you always think of the situation of West Coast teams coming across playing an East Coast game, at 1 p.m. on the Sunday, which is 10 a.m. for them, which sort of seems to disrupt a lot of West Coast teams coming across to the East Coast.
Cardinals beating the Bears 33-22. What I liked about the Cardinals is in this game is they didn't have to do a lot of things offensively to actually win this game. Yeah, they won, and 33 points is decent, but you know what I mean? Like it was like they did what they needed to do to they didn't have to do a lot. Like Kyler didn't have to really do a lot, which is kind of good.
The only thing that was offensive in this game was Andy Dalton's 4 interceptions.
I was waiting for that.
Oh, my God.
And weren't they just like, I guarantee.
They were all killers.
I could have caught 2 of those interceptions. That's how, they were glaringly there.
And the other thing too is it just felt like Chicago were constantly in 3rd and long all game, especially in the first half. Not so much in the second half, but they were constantly at 3rd and long, and they were just unable to be able to get any offensive momentum.
Yeah, look, and James Conner was pretty good on both sides of this game.
That 2 crazy catches in this game that the opening touchdown to D-Hop on the run, just getting into the corner of the end zone, and that one-handed catch by James Connor was unreal.
Oh yeah, which I didn't think he had hands like that, but that's, you know, it's kind of good. But again, you know, they only had to do 123 passing yards.
That's right. Like you said, they got done what they needed to.
Yeah.
You know, a nice.
Nothing wrong with those kind of games.
No, that's it. But you know, you're going on the road. Yeah. You're going into Chicago. They're a little bit of a hostile type crowd, and you go in there with a clear game plan.
From the desert west to that cold Chicago. Yeah, you know, not bad to come out with a win, because like
pretty crummy weather too. I think it was raining a lot during that game as well, and you could see that it was cold. So like that's a brutal environment.
You get paid millions, but those guys coming from the west into the Midwest, into the middle of America, or up near those north bits.
Rolling into the Windy City.
You get paid millions, but goddamn, you'd they're not walking out without being sick, surely.
Oh man. Surely. Or not being able to feel some of your extremities.
That's right. Extremities. How good is the word extremities? I love that word. What do you think of the Bucks beating the Falcons? Do you think that was sort of another sort of did what they had to do to win this game? Similar to the Cards Bears?
Not much, really. This is the third game out of the last four that Matt Ryan hasn't passed for a touchdown, which is a little concerning. Yet they're still 5-7. They're one and five. I don't. They can't win at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, no, they can't.
They're like San Francisco. They can't win at home.
No. It's because San Francisco.
Tom Brady had 139 passing yards in the first quarter.
He had
19 pass attempts. He was on pace for 76 attempts. Thank God it didn't get to that, but still.
No, of course not. But he threw 51 times too, 368. But then does that? I suppose he didn't get any sacks and intercepts. I can see
there was that cheeky pick six that Atlanta got right on halftime, that Brady was backed right up in his own 10-meter zone, and he just threw just like a little bit of a left hand slant pass. That was picked off by a defensive lineman, and he ran it in like 8 yards for a pick six, which sort of got Atlanta rolling a little bit. I think it was 2017 at the half, and then Atlanta didn't score anything in the second half, and we're just completely inept offensively, and that's a testament to Tampa. And the way that they're really sort of coming at teams defensively
That's exactly right. I know he loves using, and he got two TDs. I know he loves using Gronk in the red zone there, but Godwin and Evans are clearly better players. But they'd have to be pissed that they're not getting TDs.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. It's chemistry. It's those two don't hit. Those two don't even have to think.
See, no, that's exactly right. No, they don't have to think. See, and I keep thinking of MVP. Realistically, you kind of they're 9-3. Brady still threw 368, and he didn't get sacked once, and he threw, like you said, a pretty obnoxious intercept.
And just four lazy touchdowns.
They got a Super Bowl last year because he moved in the first year, and they're 9-3 this year. So technically, you could technically again say that without Tom Brady, there's no way the Bucks would be where they are right now. So not if
they rolled out Jameis Winston again.
My God. But yeah, with your problem in the Saints there. Sorry. I don't know. It's possible. And it could be a whole sentimental thing too, I suppose. It's Tom Brady and everything. But it's just, look, I'm sort of digressing off what we were talking about, but They'll win this division pretty. I mean, their divisions. I'm sorry to say, I know your Saints are in it, but it's after them. It's pretty. It's they're all 5-7, so they're all pretty horsemen.
There's no threat at the moment.
No, there isn't.
Carolina is has regressed. You know, after their sentimental, you know, signing of Cam Newton, they've gone down the gurgler. You know, the Christian McCaffrey is done for the season. The Atlanta are extremely inept offensively at the moment, and same as the Saints.
All three of those teams all need a quarterback. All three,
absolutely.
That's what we're going to talk about next. The Saints.
Because I don't think Taysom Hill is. He's not the answer, unfortunately. He's not. And
he proved
I can only assume that they will persist with him for the rest of the year as long as he's healthy. But 19-41. And look, he had a fairly efficient first half. His completion rate was a hell of a lot higher than what it finished, you know, at under 50%. But he only had 3 carries in the first half. They went to a more rush-heavy game plan with him in the second half. It just didn't seem to work.
The stats aren't gonna, they're not gonna lie. I mean, it might look good that he got 101 yards, but it didn't work.
Four killer interceptions, and one of them was a pick six.
No, but you're right. Like, they went to the rushing game, and he got 101 yards, but it didn't work offensively then to get them down the field. So the stats,
and they need their playmakers to be able to do things. Like Traquan Smith was non-existent. Marquez Callaway, who has been probably their best receiver, you know, either him or Deontay Harris. Deontay Harris isn't going to be there for the next few weeks because he's been suspended, for a DUI charge that happened earlier in the offseason. So, yeah, him and Callaway are their best offensive weapons outside of Alvin Kamara, who is not there again.
They really crack down on those, regardless if it's in the off season. They really crack down the NFL, don't they?
Big time.
Look, our offensive side was okay, but it wasn't as great. It was our defense that was the star, literally the star in this game.
Look,
everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Saints are a really good run defense team, and they really bottled up Ezekiel Elliott. They couldn't really sort of handle a lot of Tony Pollard, but yeah, they really bottled up Zeke in this game, and that sort of led to they've been guilty of giving up explosive plays in the past game. They didn't really happen that much. There was only the only one big play to Amari Cooper that was right up the middle where he gashed him for 41 yards. But other than that, they kept the explosive plays to a minimum, but you know, that Dak Prescott, you know, dissected the Saints' defensive perfectly.
How good was that Michael Gallup catch?
Oh, my God.
That TD, oh, my God. That was...
Right at the back of the end zone. Serious hops. Just like, how the hell did he get that and get 2 feet in bounds?
Had some serious hops. It was unbelievable. It was a beautiful catch.
Perfect placement. That's the sign, or you know, the general sign of a good quarterback is they will put the ball in a place where only the receiver can get it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Another interception for Trayvon Diggs now puts him atop of the entire NFL for interceptions, which is brilliant. I know they don't do it in the NFL, but I'm from what he was last year to this year, he would technically be in the NBA the most improved player out of everybody because he was nowhere near, and I'm because I follow the team clearly, nowhere near as good as this last year.
He's absolutely in contention for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, wow. And then technically another one who's should get the rookie, but Micah Parsons getting another sack.
I think Micah Parsons is a shoo-in for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, he's Defensive Rookie of the Year, but he's also, he can technically, which I don't think he will, but he's technically in that mix for defensive player of the year, but I just think that'll probably end up going to TJ Watt. TJ Watt's been awesome this year, personally.
And even though he's missed a couple of games as well, but whether he can get the sacks record or not, I don't think there's enough games left. But he's
16 sacks he's got. He's got 16.
Yeah.
So they always also forget.
22 is the record. 22.
Yeah, and technically in 17 weeks you can get that. I hate when they always forget. I know sacks are good and everything like that, don't get me wrong, and they're clearly better than tackles, but they always forget that, like, Bobby Wagner's always pretty much a defensive leader in tackles. They always forget tackles into defense. They just do. The other thing that stood out when I was looking at the stats, sorry, was I can't believe still at the moment that Derrick Henry is sitting third in rushing yards. Still.
That's how far in front he was before he got hurt.
And by 100 yards. The next closest is Nick Chubb by 100 less.
Nick Chubb's missed a few games too.
It's just, I mean, Taylor's clearly in the lead, but god damn, that's just ridiculous. Look, good win for us. 8-4 puts that 2-game, gap to Washington, who could be a bogey for us.
That's key coming into a divisional run. I think most of the NFL coming into the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, 4 or 5 games, there will be at least 2, possibly 3 of those games will be divisional.
And you, Carolina, Atlanta, are all 5-7. You're probably not going to make the playoffs even with a wild card. I know we're not going down this thing, but what do you technically do? Because I haven't really looked at it, and we can look at it again in another week, but I've really looked at your salary for next year. And when I know we'll talk about the salary in some news soon, but I'm not talking free agents here, but what would you want to take in the draft? Being that you probably will get a top 15 pick.
I mean, they should be there or thereabouts. Look, I think they may have a good young quarterback there in Ian Book. So I probably wouldn't look too much there. Look, not to say that
the defense is great.
Defensively, they could maybe start to try and get a little bit younger. Like Cam Jordan is not going to be there forever. They've still got Onyemata there as well. Look, they could maybe try and shore up a little bit, at the tackle position. They're running on empties at the tackle position at the moment. Ryan Ramczyk's missing. They're on their second and third. Tackles. So they could try and shore that up a little bit. They really need to try and look at a young dynamic receiver. I think that's glaringly obvious.
Because we technically don't know what's happening with
Thomas is under contract, so he's going to be there. He just needs to rest, get healthy, They probably need to maybe sort out the quarterback position in the interim, but I really do. I really think they've got a good one there in Ian Book. Whether how long they want to continue to sit him behind somebody like a Taysom Hill or a Trevor Siemian, if they're going to come back next year, I don't know whether they will give Jameis another shot. Whether he will look elsewhere, I'm not 100% sure. I'd probably trust Winston more than what I would Siemian at the moment, and continue to sort of use Taysom Hill and that gadget, type play, which Coach Payton has worked to a perfect art form, the way that he uses him. As a tight end, as a running back, as a he can be a passer if he needs to be. But I think they need to go out there and get a young dynamic receiver to pair up with Michael Thomas.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I totally agree. I've mentioned my start of the week already. I was just such a I love that Travis Homer play. The Seattle play, I should say. And Pete Carroll.
Oh, he was loving it. He was loving it out on the sideline.
What was going on? What was going on?
He was animated as hell.
What was going on with the guy behind him, like holding him the whole time when he was getting down there? What the guy was? Let him go. Let him get animated. It was awesome. Just because he's over 70, leave him alone.
He's like the oldest or the second oldest coach in the league.
He's 73.
Yeah, I think Belichick's like 71.
No, Belichick looks like he's 85 in that coat. who's your start of the week?
I mean, it's pretty easy.
Wow, I don't know, is it?
The Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Look, it's a culmination of a lot of things that happened. Yeah, you know, like you said, with the Detroit community, you know, what happened there. It just, yeah, the rally around it, the way that Jared Goff turned around that fourth quarter, because he had a brutal fourth quarter up until that final drive, and just the absolute elation by everybody on that sideline, you know, once that TD pass was caught, was playoff-esque. It was unbelievable. The podcast that I listened to, they actually had the Lions radio broadcast. You know, heard the sound of that, and it was just pure adulation. It was unbelievable, and there's no longer going to be a winless team this year. They're still in line to get the number one pick next year.
And keep Dan Campbell. Like, he looks
no,
so...
Well, that's, look, he was a broken man a month ago. Like, you know,
but
some
he
of
also,
the heartbreaking
he plays. He looks so invested. Like, I know I see say that for certain teams, but he looks extremely invested in this team.
Oh, absolutely.
He was, yeah. Leave him. Give him another proper year. Give him another draft pick and see what happens.
Just the unbelievable relief to be able to get that one in the win column. A lot of pressure. Well, I think they're going to be a lot looser in the coming weeks.
It'll be interesting.
The pressure's off now, like that. Yeah, they could really, really open the floodgates for Detroit.
Yeah, it could be very interesting. What's their run?
They're definitely going to miss DeAndre Swift.
Of course.
But look, yeah,
Jamal Williams is good, but
no, Jamal that's right. Williams yeah, great they've still package, got a really so good Jamal thumper in good. Jamal Williams.
Exactly. Your dart of the week.
I think it's pretty easy, and that's John Harbaugh.
Because of that bonehead play.
It's total bonehead play.
It was pretty bonehead, wasn't it?
Justin Tucker is automatic on the PAT. Like I get it. You know, the Steelers came back in the fourth quarter. You want to show who's got the biggest balls between him and Mike Tomlin, but just put the ego in the pocket, take the 1 point, go to overtime. Trust in Lamar. I get it. Yeah, Lamar Jackson is one of the most dynamic runners, and how hard can it be for him to be able to get 2 yards? They went to a pass play because the Pittsburgh defense was up for this game, and they were getting at Lamar Jackson all game. And TJ Watt was the one that disrupted that play just enough to be able to make Lamar Jackson make the mistake and put that pass a foot in front of Mark Andrews' hands, and just enough to be out of reach for even him to be able to haul that pass in and to try and get in there and go for the big ballsy play and go, hey, guess what? I've got the largest testicles here, and we're going to beat you on this play rather than take our chances in overtime.
Yeah, no. You're right. I mean, as stud like was obviously the Detroit Lions win, I had to give the dud because for the Vikings because
yeah,
I mean at the end of the day that it the loss was inexcusable, but it kind of felt inevitable in a way. It kind of did, didn't it? I know you sort of said again the WTA, but it kind of felt a little bit inevitable.
They were down two scores in this game, Minnesota. Like that, there was.
Well, they did everything they could to let the Lions hang around. They did everything they could. This is what I mean.
At one point, it was 20-9. Detroit were up, but like it looked like Detroit was sailing.
They just, this is a team that, like, they've seriously now have got to look at the entire team and go, well, and I'm probably the owners, and just go, we've got to completely change the direction of the franchise. I don't know if that means you have to change a quarterback, but I don't know. I don't know if they maybe they have to change the coaching staff. He's been around there for a while.
Well, yeah, Zimmer's been there for a little bit.
And I think their front office, the GM, has been there for a little bit too, yeah?
I believe. So.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
That's okay. But, yeah, that was definitely my dud of the week.
They're in the same boat, I think, a little bit as New Orleans. They took a quarterback, you know, sort of late, or not late, but, you know, later in the draft in Kellen Mond, who had really good raps on him.
Oh, yeah. I like him.
You know, in college.
Whether
or not that is a realistic option for them if they do decide to let Cousins walk. But it's, yeah, that's... I don't think that's the way to go. This was an inexcusable game. Like, I would not like to be at Vikings practice this week.
Yeah, no, exactly. Just some news to finish on. The salary cap looks like it's going to increase next year.
This year, like, yeah, we'd sort of discuss before we come on here that it was inevitable that it was going to go down a little bit, just basically on, you know, what happened last year with no crowds and stuff like that. So it went down to like $182.5 million, but it's projected, and this isn't set in stone, but it's projected to go up to $208 million. So that will definitely help out some teams because, yeah, this especially this season, there was a lot of guys that were out there that were big name free agents that took, you know, one year deals to sort of get them through this year, and knowing that the money was going to be there next year, that teams will be able to pay them a little bit more.
It went back $10 million. It was $198 million in 2020. Went back to $182 million. You know, for obvious reasons, for COVID reasons and everything like that. So it had to go back up. Like you just said, like a lot of them took either the franchise tag or took the one-year deals. A lot of them, especially a lot of wide receivers, took those deals.
That's right. Or they had to go out there and restructure their deals.
Oh, just the off-season is just going to be... We thought the off-season was probably... Last year was probably crazy because of the draft. But this year's off-season, in terms of free agency, is going to be just... Players are going to go everywhere. Right.
With that little bit of extra money, that will definitely help out some teams that are under salary cap pressure.
That's right. Any other news to finish, Sean?
Carolina had the bye this week, but that didn't sort of, you know, exempt them from being in the news this week. They fired their offensive coordinator, Joe Brady. How much that's going to help them, I'll have no idea.
The timing, when I read that, the timing of it just doesn't make sense at all. Why?
There's five games left. I don't.
With the record you have, with coming off a bye,
That's right.
The timing just doesn't make sense. Do it at the end of the year or do it earlier when you know you're not. What? They're doing that. They're basically saying to me in my head, in their heads, they're saying they still realistically have a chance of making it. Because that's how it comes across, by doing that.
Well,
they realistically have a chance.
They clearly are looking in another direction.
Yeah, but that's okay. But you look in the other direction towards the end of the year in the off-season, not halfway through. I just think that – I honestly think they can still get a wild card spot. And I don't
Well, they're in limbo at the quarterback position as well. Like, well, do they realistically think that Cam Newton's going to be their long term future? And PJ Walker hasn't really lit the world on fire.
Sam Darnold was good. Darnold's that second round was probably a bust.
They're in real limbo at the moment.
Yeah, they are. There's a lot of teams in limbo, but. It, you're right. I read it. It didn't make sense. Well, not at this. I just think not so much that it didn't make sense getting rid of him. It just didn't make sense of the timing of it. That's what I couldn't.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. What is realistically the point of doing that? You may as well. I think it's just that they just wanted to, whether or not there was a bit of a toxic relationship happening there, and they just wanted to cut ties and go, yep, we're through with this relationship.
Yeah. I think that was it. We're looking at the news, going through the news.
I reckon that'll do. Just one more little nugget on the Detroit Lions.
Detroit.
I know we're talking way too much about the Lions, but
No. Hey, they got to win.
The funny thing about this as well, like, you know, they're 1-10-1. They're 8-4 against the spread.
Oh, interesting. Wow, that's how big are those spreads?
that's the thing as well. I think the other teams that are playing the Lions will be extremely heavily favoured. So, but even so, that it still means that they're not really being blown out.
No, we said that at the start of the year. I said that they are losing these games, yes, but they are trying their absolute hardest to win these games. I said that at the start, and they are absolutely trying.
Look,
so.
they put together some poor performances this year, and that just goes.
Normal.
This comes with the territory, unfortunately, as the Detroit Lions do.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that is it for this week's NFL pod. Week 13. As always, our socials are Facebook, Final Play Podcast, and Twitter at Final Play Pod. Obviously, on Facebook, we're not just on our own Final Play Podcast page, we're also on Darren's Tips. I just thought I'd specify Darren's because I believe I made a mistake last week and said Nick's Tips. Which I don't even know a Nick, to be completely honest, but I said Nick anyway.
I'm sure Nick's tips are good, but yeah.
Well, how's Darren's tips?
Well, no comment on that at the moment.
No. But we're very grateful that the pods are still there. And as always, gimco.com.au.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's we're always appreciative of those guys. Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. So yeah, always appreciative of what they do for us. So, you know, we've got a really good relationship with those guys. So, check those guys out. They're on Facebook as well. They're on Twitter. They're on all the major platforms as well. So, check us out on SoundCloud and Spotify as well. One of these days we'll get our acting together and possibly get on Apple Music if, somebody will somebody who's more Apple friendly than what I am, but but yeah, Spotify and SoundCloud are the
Spotify is the best one.
Spotify is so easy. Click on the link, wham, there it is. Who hasn't got Spotify on their phone, honestly?
And it's free, and or like all the podcasts, but they're obviously absolutely free. And especially I like it that it's always there, ready to go. I'm on the podcast myself, and it's there every single time. Ready to go of any podcast you're on. It self downloads if you have that set up. So, yeah, it's easy, Spotify. It's very, very easy.
Easy.
What? How are you going to sign off this week?
I honestly got nothing. I just, like, my eyeballs are hanging out of my head right now. All right. I've got nothing this week, Plum.
I've got nothing. What did you say halfway through this pod? I think you were talking about the word. I can't remember the word, but it was. I think it was something to do with a men's nether regions, but I can't remember the words you used. But it was hilarious.
I did use the word testicles earlier, but...
Oh, no. Well, I'm not starting off as testicles. I'm going to say no. I'm going to sign off as Jason. Wow. Week 40. To me, out of all the weeks, and I looked at the draw, week 14, to me, and especially with how close all these divisions are, this will be honestly the week where I reckon I could say this team will win the division. Not so much the wild cards, but I think this is where I'll say this team will win the division. Smith. I just think
that was that was
longer, wasn't it? I just think, I don't know. I just looking at it, I've looked at the draw, I've looked at wild cards, completely different story. But I think after this week, if the teams that are where they are, if they technically win the division, that's where the divisions will be. The only one that probably scares me is that AFC North with the Ravens and all that. But other than that, I think it's close to me that I think the divisional leaders or divisional winners are set. I don't know about you, but that's where I kind of am at the moment. I think it's fairly close.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, yeah, there's going to be a lot of jostling for position for wild card spots.
I don't know about you, but I think we've only added one more week to this NFL season, which is fine, 17 weeks, but does it feel like to you, even though they've only added one more week, that the season is so much longer than any other season, even though it's only one more week?
Well, we're already at week four. We've just gone through week 13, so
it just feels so long. I think because of the injuries. I just honestly think it's because of the injuries in that. I don't know. It just feels
it's been a lot this year.
I mean, it's only one. It's still longer technically. It just feels if you got a running, if you got a decent running back that's healthy in your fantasy team, good luck because they're few and far between.
Brutal this week. Good God.
Oh my God!
Healthy scratchings and bye weeks even my crap running backs aren't playing. It's like, good God, help me out, please.